hello to everybody out there in podcast land. This is the Front Row Network with NPR Illinois Community Voices. My name is Brandon Davis, and this is not an episode of Front Row Classics, so it's a nice switch. And with me, I have our assistant editor-in-chief, Craig McFarland. How's it going?
It is going so well. It is so nice to be on a show with you because it's been a minute since we've been on a show together. So happy to get to chat with you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And also joining us, first time I've talked to her on a podcast in a very long time, Anna McFarland. Hi, Anna.
Hi, good to see you and talk to you tonight.
Good to see you. You know, it's weird. We haven't seen each other in person in over a year, but I feel like we've been connecting somewhat, which is what the whole point of this episode is. We're about a year into this pandemic. It's absolutely crazy that we're a year in.
It's crazy to look back and like reflect on the year and obviously so much like anxiety and stress that went along with it. But along the way, finding things that were kind of outlets to that stress and to that anxiety were really beneficial, especially at the beginning, but even as we continue on in these long months. And so that's what we're kind of here to talk about tonight, right? I mean, that's it's sort of something that kind of came organically to us to start doing this particular thing on Friday nights. And we just kept at it. And it was just a really neat way to pass the time, something to look forward to every week. It's been very beneficial for me personally to have something like this last year.
Not to bury the lead, but yeah, we've been calling this sort of Friday night flicks. We have our own sort of a Facebook chat that we've started, and it started out a year ago this week, Anna. So how just kind of looking back on this last year, how's it been for you?
Well, it's been definitely something to look forward to every week. And it's one of those things that helps me know the passage of time, especially over the past year. I know that I always look forward to Fridays because I look forward to our movies. But it's just something that's been a really a true benefit of the virtual world is being able to do fun things like this with friends. And I've even made my own like little home routine. I'll make my own popcorn and have a seat on the couch. Just a nice way to unwind after the week.
Yeah. And it started, I'm trying to think back exactly how it started, but I think Craig, you and I were texting or something, and I had seen that some of these streaming services had started, you know, group watches or whatever. And I'm not a fan of the way that they work because they're just so, especially like the Disney Plus one and everything. And I said, well, why don't we just try it and do it over like Facebook chat? And then we can just talk as much as we want. And the first movie that we watched was actually pretty new when we watched it last March. It was Knives Out. And that was fun. I think the reason we chose it, not only because we loved it, but it was free on Amazon Prime that week.
What a way to start, because that movie is incredible. And for me, that's been the bar, not going to lie, for the whole year, because that movie is so good. It really left a true impression on me.
Easily my favorite film of that year. And I'll tell you a couple of like motivations that I had going into this. Well, first of all, like I would always talk to you about classic film because truly you know more about classic film than anyone that I know by far. And so I would say things like, well, I really haven't delved into classic film. What should I watch? And you would send me a list of like 50 movies. And that is daunting to look at. And you just never, I never get around to attacking that list. But I, through this process, and I know we're going to get into them, I've seen so many more classic films because we've watched them together on a Friday night and enjoyed them together. And then I will say also a motivation for me is that it's really fun to get to watch movies with Anna because we don't necessarily watch movies together all that often. And so like a film like Knives Out, being the first one, it was my favorite film of that year. It was so well written. I knew that she would love the dialogue and the murder mystery aspect of it and the twist and everything else. The acting is superb. And so it's just really cool to be able to share. Like you were saying, you know, you talk about the experience of going to a theater and how that's a communal experience. And okay, so we're missing that now. We can't go into a movie theater. Well, we can in some areas. We are choosing not to go into a movie theater at this point. But, you know, it's that communal aspect that was missing in film. And I think that through this messenger thread and picking out movies every Friday night, we got to experience that a bit still. And we got to share some of those films that either we wanted to see ourselves or we loved ourselves, and then we get to share it with the other two people. And that's a really cool experience. It's really fun to be able to be like, you almost kind of get to learn a bit more about each of our personalities through the films that we're choosing.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the way this has worked for our listeners and everything, we've rotated. Sometimes, depending on like if it was somebody's birthday or if it was like a special occasion, we would go off of our usual pattern. But we would just, you know, Craig picks one Friday night, then the next Friday night's me, then Anna, and we just keep going. And it's funny. Some Fridays I have like a myriad of choices I think of. Sometimes I struggle and I can't think of anything, and I'm like, oh, let's just try this. But looking at like the Anna, you and I had a Paris theme for our next next group of movies. We watched my choice was An American in Paris, and then you chose Midnight in Paris the next.
Right. So it's been fun to kind of joke like that. Or I know we watched I think 5 Jimmy Stewart movies in a row.
We did.
And after the first two, I realized there's a pattern. I'm like, well, guys, we have to keep going with Jimmy. I mean, so it's been fun to find these patterns. And as mentioned before, just all those movies that you have in the back of your mind. Like, I can't believe I haven't seen this movie. How have I not seen that before? And this has been a great opportunity to see those films.
An American in Paris is one of those that I knew I really enjoyed. I know, don't hate at me, podcast listeners. I really enjoyed La La Land a lot, and was actually pretty sad when it lost Best Picture. But
the three of us saw that together in the theater.
We did. And I loved the end of that film, but I didn't really fully get the reference because it was based on An American in Paris. And to see that Gene Kelly movie, you know, I had really only seen him in Singing in the Rain. And so to be able to experience that was a lot of fun. Midnight in Paris is one of our films that we go to quite often. We really enjoy the story in that film. So it was just kind of a really nice way, again, to kind of kick this all off, because who knew how long we'd be doing these Friday nights for, but it was a good start to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you were mentioning, you know, that list I gave to you. And I think at one point I said that these are movies that you never would have gotten around to. And here you've seen more movies than we probably ever would have gotten around to. And I just come over with a movie and we watched it or something like that.
Absolutely. Well, especially with, you know, all of us lead such busy lives with being involved in theater and in work and other obligations that absolutely there's no way we would have watched this many movies together. I know that people have been finding ways to stay connected and stay together during the pandemic. And I'm just really glad and fortunate that we had this opportunity together, because it's definitely something that I will look back on. It's one of the staples of this last year. And so there might be some things that are darker or that aren't as happy to reflect back on, but stuff like this is wonderful to be able to think back about all the movies we watched and all those experiences we had together.
I would say it's been really fun to have all those pieces of information that we share back and forth during the movie. Usually when you're in a movie theater together, you sit and you watch the film and then you talk after, but it's been fun to learn as things are happening, different pieces, or talk about, hey, my favorite song is coming up, or this is my favorite part because, or I don't really like this part of the film. What do you guys think, while it's happening in real time? So it's been fun to do that as well.
Yeah, completely. And sometimes most of the time, one of us has at least seen one of these movies, but every once in a while, I think we've gone into something blind, or it hasn't been that often, but you know, something newer, like a couple of these, like, I'm going to skip around a little bit, like none of us had seen Claws on Netflix this Christmas, or none of us had seen Mary Shelley on Hulu. And those were two movies that we went into blind. So we all got to kind of experience, you know, we either got to share a movie with the other two that we loved that the other two hadn't seen, or we got to experience something new together. Is there like a particular movie that like stood out to you, just like in terms of like discovery, that surprised you?
There's so much Hitchcock that we watched. And I had, again, a very baseline knowledge of Hitchcock. And I would say before I knew you, Brandon, all I really knew of Hitchcock was Psycho. And so you introducing me to Rear Window outside of this, we didn't watch that during this process, but that was like a revelation for me. And then seeing things like Vertigo, The Man Who Knew Too Much, and you know, those movies, to kind of like see that progression of him as a filmmaker. North by Northwest, we also watched. I mean, we watched a lot of Hitchcock. And so that's definitely a filmmaker I have come to appreciate more, more than just like the zeitgeist of knowing that he's this very historical and incredible filmmaker. But now actually getting to see those films and enjoy those films was something that definitely was a highlight for me.
Mm-hmm. Anna, is there one that stood out to you?
No, I go off of that as well. I didn't know how much of a Hitchcock fan I was until I started watching the movies. Then I'd be finding other films that I could watch of his. They're just something that really struck with me. And I know that I hadn't seen Psycho before. And so this Halloween season, that was something that I wanted to see. I always thought it was too scary or I wouldn't like it. But after seeing his other films, I really wanted to see Psycho, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the film a lot. So that surprised me because I never thought I would watch that film just because of thinking it was something that I wouldn't like, and I really did. And there's other films that are just older films that I hadn't seen before that I really enjoyed, or newer films that I hadn't seen that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So it's been something where it's been fun to try things that you hadn't thought of trying before and really getting something out of it.
I tell you one that surprised me, and we came around to it just a couple months ago. I came out in the 90s. I'd never seen it before, and it was Clueless. And I was like, man, no. Oh, I was like,
I didn't know that.
No, I was like, man, this is a good movie. I don't know why I'd never gotten around to it.
It's so funny that you hadn't seen that, because truly, like, everyone out there, you need to go back and watch Clueless, because that is the 90s. Like, when I think of 90s film, I think of Clueless and I think of Clerks. Those are the two films that stick out to me. Like, these are the 90s in film. Well, and I would say Clerks/Mallrats, because like that Kevin Smith View Askewaverse is kind of all in that 90s time frame. But Clueless was a great pick. It was such a fun pick for you. You picked that for your birthday.
I did. Yeah. Clueless is one of those that I've watched on repeat. Like, just in general for movies, I watch things over and over again. I typically don't look for new film. I just stick with what I like and what I know, to be really honest. And so Clueless is one of those that I've had for a long time. And when I realized that you hadn't seen it, Brandon, especially, I thought, well, we're watching Clueless for my birthday. That sounds like something that will be fun.
And I got to throw out there as a suggestion right now, I'm a binge listener when it comes to podcasts. And so Zach Braff and Donald Faison are doing a Scrubs rewatch podcast called Fake Doctors, Real Friends. And it's wonderful. So Donald Faison talks a lot about Clueless in that podcast too, because, you know, that was kind of a breakout role for him. So, and of course that is sort of what helped land roles like Scrubs later on. So it's just, I really enjoy that film. Alicia Silverstone, just spot on, perfect. And you know, what's funny about that is you watch that as a younger person and you just assume like, she's kind of clueless, right? It's right there in the title. But she is kind of like Elle Wood level smart. Like, you know, you see that and you appreciate that in that character so much more, I think, revisiting it. So I'd highly suggest people go back and watch Clueless.
Absolutely. Looking back, though, I'm noticing like groupings, like around spring of last year, Craig, you were getting itching for baseball season. Mm-hmm. And of course, there wasn't much baseball last year. And so we did a double week feature of For the Love of the Game and Field of Dreams. And I know that that's sort of satisfied your longing for baseball at that point.
You know, I'm a guy who really enjoys watching sports. Anna can attest to that. Like, I am so excited. Well, by the time this releases, we will know how the Illini are doing in the March Madness tournament. But you know, I am a baseball fan, particularly from like April to May, and then I kind of shut it off for the summer, and then I'll watch again at the playoffs. So I'm not like a diehard fan, but April to me, like, it really comes about that baseball should be starting. And I love going to games. I love the thought of baseball, right? And so it was great to visit those two movies. Love Kevin Costner as well. And so, of course, he's in both of those films. And
yeah, Field of Dreams is one of my staples. That's one of my go-tos. And so I knew that that's one that I want to throw in for one of my picks, just because it's one of my comfort films. And I haven't seen it for a long time. And I'm really glad we watched it, because it's, I think you get something new with it every time you see it.
Well, especially that, like, that movie has completely changed for me since I became a dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, the emotional relevance of that film really hits you in the gut when you have a child. And For the Love of the Game, maybe not quite as popular as, you know, the Bull Durhams and the Field of Dreams mm-hmm. when you're talking about Kevin Costner baseball movies. But I truly love that film. I really enjoyed it. And it was cool to go back and revisit it again. If you haven't seen it, it's basically about a pitcher who is kind of over the course of the movie pitching out his last game. And it's a really cool story, love story. And it's just fun. It's a good movie.
It is. And, you know, you being the host of Beyond the Mouse, it's really interesting going back and looking. We didn't hit Disney Plus all that often this last year, 3 times. We watched the premiere of Hamilton. We watched the documentary Howard when it came out. And then you and I back in August decided, because we were going to be on the podcast together, of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Those are the 3 times we hit up Disney Plus this last year. But, you know, it was fun watching 20,000 Leagues again. And of course, you know, seeing Hamilton in the way that they presented that, you know, in the cinematic way, you know, I know that that blew us all away back this summer. And I'm so glad that they released it earlier for us to see, you know, than, you know, just keeping on postponing it like so many other things have been postponed.
Exactly. And I think as we got into watching our Friday flicks, one of the things for me is I noticed I enjoyed watching films that I hadn't seen before more than maybe mm-hmm. I realized. And I think that for me, at least, why I hadn't picked some maybe that are on Disney Plus, just because I've seen those other times. Uh-huh. So it was more of a thing that I would just go searching for movies that I haven't seen or maybe I've always heard of and wanted to watch.
And I think it was really, the Hamilton was really neat. It was just a cool experience because, you know, we've been really fortunate with Beyond the Mouse to speak to some pretty incredible people this last year. And one of those was Julius Thomas III. And he had played Hamilton on the national tour and then also out in San Francisco. He was actually playing the role of Hamilton when everything shut down. So it was cool because, like, I was already kind of jazzed after having that conversation with him to then go back and revisit the show that Anna and I have fortunately been able to see in Chicago. And I know you had as well, Brandon. Uh-huh. But to see it with that original cast, I just think it's neat that they did put it on Disney Plus. I imagine that Lin-Manuel had quite a hand in that, coming out on 4th of July weekend when we all really needed theater again. And just the accessibility of that. I know that, of course, we want our actors to get paid. We want actors to make a fair wage and to have a living. At the same time, to buy a ticket to Hamilton on Broadway with that original cast was going to cost you $1,000 for a ticket. And that's just so inaccessible for people. So to be able to open that up and to say, okay, all of your friends that are remotely interested in theater have been geeking out about this show for 5 years. This is why they were geeking out about it. So it's yeah. kind of cool to see like that rediscovery. And even in my own show, Brett Rutherford had never seen Hamilton before or listened to it. I could not believe that. He had not listened to Hamilton until that came out. So he went into it completely fresh and it blew him away. So, yeah. But yeah, I do agree with Anna on the whole Disney Plus thing. I mean, obviously there's a huge catalog there. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was great because of how beautiful it is. They went back and remastered all of those live action movies, Swiss Family Robinson, 20,000 uh-huh. Leagues Under the Sea. So I would strongly suggest that people go back and watch those. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think we did try to set out and find films that maybe we hadn't seen before. Uh-huh. And so that's why we didn't visit Disney Plus as often.
Mm-hmm. And looking back to just like markers of what particular time of year it was, you know, once we hit fall, we were interested in more, you know, spooky movies. It's fall kind of went on forever because the weather turned cooler a little earlier. And I think we went a little overboard
really at the beginning
because we started with, it wasn't quite Halloween yet. So I started us with a Gaslight. But then once we started hitting like Halloween season, we watched Frankenstein, The Bride of Frankenstein, and another thing that I hadn't watched Mad Monster Party ever, and you introduced that to me, and that was quite an experience. It was
experience. Yeah. How did you feel about that film, Anna?
I mean, you know,
not your favorite Rankin Bass.
It was nice to be able to be on my phone chatting during the film. I leave it there.
It is funny because I think we started our Halloween movies like, was it Labor Day or was it like the
it
week
was
after
close.
Labor?
It was yeah, because it got cold in September. So
yeah, and so we started them really early. And you know, I will say this about the Halloween and holidays, and I know you're going to go into the holiday season next, mm-hmm. but I loved that in a way, because then we could like revisit a lot of these mm-hmm. Halloween films that I love, and Christmas, and then Thanksgiving even. But I also was like, man, I really want to watch this. So I had things on my mind that like I had to then kind of like mentally put away and like, we will watch this in January, you know? And so at some point I was just like, well, you know, it'd be kind of nice to break this up a little bit, but it was fun to, I mean, Halloween movies, especially like we're not into the like scary movies. Mm-hmm. But just the thought of Halloween movies and fall movies are always fun, and mm-hmm. really was awesome to be able to see all those with you.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And thank goodness for, you know, we just wanted to, you know, discuss sort of the pros and cons of some of these streaming services, but Peacock during Halloween season had all the Universal monster classics there, and some you would have to be a actual subscriber to access, but you could access a lot of them. So so that was very helpful in October.
It was fun to do that double feature, right?
Yeah, because those films, they're short.
Those films are only like about an hour and 10 minutes runtime. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to do a double feature of Frankenstein and then The Bride of Frankenstein. And I almost wish we would have done more of those because I love those old Universal monster movies. Mm-hmm. My favorite was not on Peacock, and that is Creature of the Black Lagoon.
Right.
So that's another one that I didn't get a chance to watch this past year, but certainly in 2021, that's one of my goals is to make sure I watch that film. And you know, there's just so many really cool Universal monster films out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then it was neat to see Mary Shelley too, because of
right.
watching our Frankenstein double feature. It was neat to watch that film as well and see how it ties together in their eyes.
Mm-hmm. And I actually had a really busy Frankenstein October, because through the library, the Chatham Library here, mm-hmm. You can download this app called Libby, and they have audiobooks on there, and they have books that you can check out as well. And they had a great Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and it was read by Dan Stevens, who was in Downton Abbey, and he mm-hmm. played the Beast in the live action remake of Beauty and the Beast. And it's so interesting because I had never actually read or heard that book. And it is so much different than the Universal movie. And actually, Bride of Frankenstein does a much better job of it. But Mary Shelley, that show that the movie we were able to watch on Hulu, was such a better depiction of that. So it was kind of cool to kind of get that from all angles and to almost have like a character study of Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster during the month of October.
It did. And then, of course, moving on to December, November and December, we really hit it hard. We did The Shop Around the Corner. We did Claws. We did The Preacher's Wife, which neither of you two had seen, and I recommend it. And then we did White Christmas. And then really fun on Christmas night, we watched It's a Wonderful Life. So that was a lot of fun, you know. And both It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas I've seen more times than I want to count, but I never get tired of seeing them, especially during that time. But it was fun to introduce to you two Shop Around the Corner and Preacher's Wife.
So much of like those Christmas movies and going into the Christmas season, I know that there was a lot of people that were very sad that they couldn't have their traditional Christmases and go to see family. And of course, you can count us among those. And so, like you said, to watch It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas night with you, it was just kind of really perfect. You know, mm-hmm. it was a great way to kind of cap off that season and to be able to experience that film again. I also say that Claws, I had heard that was actually a recommendation from Flashback host Jay Hoffman. Mm-hmm. He had said it was really good, and I really did enjoy that movie. I don't know if it's one that I'll revisit every single year, but it is definitely well done, and I would suggest that people go out and check that out. And then, you know, seeing White Christmas, it's White Christmas. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you got to watch it.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, holiday time, films are already a staple and part of our tradition. And so being able to work our Friday night flicks with holiday movies in it, it just felt really special and had a little piece of new, but a little piece of familiar as well.
just sort of browsing around. Actually, we were able to, we saw a couple with Oscar season looming. We've seen a couple of newer movies that might be in, you know, contention here coming up. Just last week, we watched Mank, which I had already seen and done a podcast on, but you two hadn't seen. And then the three of us, the weekend it came out, purchased News of the World and watched that. And I don't know that the three of us will get together to do a full disclosure of that at any point. So this might be our opportunity to talk about it. But I really enjoyed News of the World. I think part of the reason why it didn't get as many nominations when the Oscar nominations were announced this week, it's because it hasn't been as easily accessible. So I don't know as many people have seen it, but it's a movie I definitely would have paid to go see in the theater. So I didn't mind paying the extra $20 to watch it on Amazon Prime. But I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the better things that Tom Hanks has done in the last few years.
Yeah, I completely agree. It, on the surface, seemed like something that was outside of what I typically watch, so I didn't quite know what to expect. And I'm really glad I watched that film because I truly enjoyed it. And as you mentioned, Tom Hanks was incredible in that film. And the characters that they brought to life were just so real and raw and just a really, really well done film.
You know, you said something, Anna, that I thought was pretty profound about that movie. And it's like the longer you sit with it, the more you enjoyed it and the more you appreciated it. I don't know her name off the top of my head. She was nominated for a Golden Globe. The young actress that played opposite Tom Hanks, just absolutely incredible. And to think that she was holding her own against Tom Hanks, but from the trivia, I believe because she is from Germany, she didn't know Tom Hanks is, you know, America's dad. And, so maybe that helped a little bit while she was on set, but she just did an outstanding job. And I was really glad to see that she had some recognition and that she was a Golden Globe nominee, because so often when a child actor or actress puts in a performance like that, they don't get recognized. But she truly carried this film with Tom Hanks. I mean, this was Castaway plus one, you know, I mean, this was definitely a character piece for the two of them, and they both did outstanding. And like, I completely agree with you, Brandon, this was Tom Hanks in a role that we maybe haven't seen him in a while. Wasn't so blatantly Tom Hanks in this role. He got to really act and bring some great performances to the screen during the film. So I really enjoyed it and would highly suggest that people go and check it out. I think by now I'm sure it is in more of like the $5 to $6 rental range. And then I would imagine at some point it will land on a streamer. And when it does, you absolutely should go out and check out News of the World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, part of it is just an aspect of history that I wasn't quite aware of. I didn't know that there were necessarily these guys who went from town to town just to read the news.
Literally, and that just, was just the new, read the news. Read the
yeah.
news.
It you was like
doing that today. Why don't we just go, you know, when this is over, let's go, go into a bar and just start reading the news and see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, yeah. And it's a beautiful movie to look at. It's one of those movies that, you know, I wish I could have seen on a big screen just because it's so beautiful to look at in terms of cinematography. So, yeah. And even if you think you're not like a fan of the Western genre, I wouldn't consider it like a typical Western. There's more going on here. So yeah, definitely check that out. So just what I'm going to do is, now we've talked about sort of the main group of stuff, and I'm just going to go down and list like a couple chunks. And if there's any movies that stick out to you and want to mention, just go ahead. And I think, Craig, you'll want to mention the first one that I mentioned here, but we watched Chef, we watched Laura, we watched His Girl Friday, and we watched Shawshank Redemption. Are there any of those four that stick out?
Chef is, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Chef has become one of my go-to films and one of my favorites of Jon Favreau. And I mean, that's speaking very highly of his other films, because whether it's Elf or Iron Man or Lion King, you know, or what he's doing over The Mandalorian, I'm just really glad that Jon Favreau is making art. And this was a piece that he did. He came up with while he was on set for Iron Man. They had a lot of food trucks around, and basically he came up with this story about a father reconnecting with his son through going around on a food truck. And I really enjoy the film. And it's one of those kind of like small indie films that I don't know if it gets enough notice for what it is, but definitely one of his strongest films that he's put. And it does have a spinoff series on Netflix, The Chef Show, where he basically does like a, almost like a cooking show with celebrities. And it's sort of loosely based on the storyline with that. So really enjoy Chef. And then of course, Shawshank Redemption is one that I was really happy to kind of show Anna, because it is one of those films that's just thought of as one of the greatest films of all time. And so I don't know if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, that's the one that stuck out there when you read your list, Brandon, for me, because it's of course one of those films that is legendary in movie history, and I had not seen it because I was younger when it came out. Mm-hmm. And so being able to visit it now was just a real treat, and I understood a lot of cultural references that come from that movie that I didn't know existed. So definitely a great film, and I'm really glad I watched that one.
Yeah, and I just to piggyback on Chef, though, what's fun for me is to see all of the really big names that do just little parts in the movie. It's fun because you never know who's going to pop up next.
There's a lot of Avengers in that film, aren't there? Because, you know, you got Scarlett Johansson's in the film, Robert Downey Jr.'s in the film. Fun to see, like you said, the people that are going to pop up in it.
And it's fun to see Dustin Hoffman at the beginning, and you know, and Sofia Vergara playing not so, you know, overblown of a part like she usually does. So,
well, and I guess that speaks to it must speak to Jon Favreau, that he must be a good enough guy that when he's like, hey, I'm doing this small film, can you come and do this part for me? They were all willing to do that. You know, I think that probably speaks to that, because, you know, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't need to do cameos in films right now, you know, so, and same with Dustin Hoffman, you know, so I think it just speaks to probably Jon Favreau's respect out in Hollywood as a filmmaker, but maybe also you hear that he's a very nice guy and a good guy to work for and work with. So I'm sure that is true. And it comes to fruition in a film like Chef.
Yeah, so looking at our next group, another kind of random group, but The Big Sick, Apollo 13, Tootsie, and Yesterday. Some nice comforting movies. Anyone that sticks out to you, Anna?
Well, Apollo 13 was one of my picks. That, again, is one of my go-tos, so I knew I'd want to pick it on one of my Fridays. I've loved that movie for a really long time, ever since it came out. I remember seeing it in the theaters and just being motivated to enjoy the film at that time, but it just stuck with me. It was a staple forever. So I'm really glad that we got to watch that film. And I think we even watched it maybe in April last year. So it was right around the same time of the Apollo anniversary.
I have two of them I want to mention out of this. Uh-huh. One is, you know, I just mentioned to Anna that Anna hadn't seen Shawshank, and that was this really well-regarded movie. I had never seen Tootsie. So to be able to see that film, and especially now that it's being kind of revived as a Broadway musical as well, it was just really great to see. And there's so much that happens in that film, even in the last 10 minutes, how they close up and wrap up that story is just like excellent writing, incredible writing. And you can see why that movie is so popular. And it's actually really surprising. I think that is a film that's probably ripe for a remake at some point. And I would love to get your take on that, Brandon, if they should ever touch something like that. But it's interesting. And I guess you get a little bit of it, kind of like the very general, you know, type of film in like a Mrs. Doubtfire, but it's such a different film than that. So, but Tootsie was great. And then Big Sick was one of my picks, and it was one of my favorite movies the year that it came out. And at the start of the pandemic, Camille and his wife, Emily, who the story is based on, they were doing a podcast, and it was really something that I kind of do podcasts as therapy sometimes. And when I was going out for runs and things like that, they would be talking about sort of current events going on in the pandemic. And I don't know, it's just really comforting. She is a counselor by training. And of course, he's an actor. I don't know, it's just something about their combination. So I really enjoyed listening to them. They kind of stopped the podcast, I think, in like June or July of last year. It was sort of a limited run show of only 12 or 13 episodes or something. but I really enjoyed their show. And so I wanted to revisit Big Sick, and I still enjoy that movie. It's probably, I would say Big Sick is probably my favorite romantic comedy. And it really does hit you in the feels, kind of out of nowhere, sort of about halfway through that film. But yeah, so those are the two I wanted to comment on.
Yeah, Tootsie, it was my pick. It's one of those great feel-good movies for me when I'm in a bad mood. I can put on Tootsie, and it makes me feel better. And it's not just a slapstick comedy. There's more deeper issues going on in that movie, which I always appreciate. And I can see where you're coming from about the remake. And I think it was in one of my comments that I mentioned to you. I think because it's based in the world of soap opera, it might date. We've got a few soap operas still around, but it was made in a time, you know, when soap operas were, some soaps were getting just as big a ratings as primetime shows were, and they were in the, you know, zeitgeist a little bit more. So maybe set it in a different realm of entertainment or something like that, and maybe you'd modernize it just a little bit there.
Who takes on that role? Let's make you fire it off real quick.
I'm trying to think who's like an equivalent to like some guy who's really serious that you would like to see play comedy.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
I could see him do that.
Yeah, yeah, or yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of.
Did I pollute your mind now?
Or somebody.
Doctor Strange in a dress.
Yeah, Lee. Or someone like DiCaprio, maybe, you know, someone who you're used to seeing a little bit more serious, mm-hmm. you know, because I was thinking about some of those Marvel guys. I'm like, no, but we see them be funny all the time, so it wouldn't be as big of a stretch as you would think. But yeah, I think I could see that's one I could see remade, just because if you set it in a little more of a modern twist, you know, it might work for it. Looking back, though, you mentioned all the Hitchcocks. I'm a huge fan of Hitchcock, and I'm also a huge fan of classic musicals. And so you all had seen Singing in the Rain. We did watch that. But I also was able to introduce to you guys The Bandwagon, An American in Paris, as I mentioned, On the Town, and High Society. So were there any of those that stuck out to you when we watched them?
I really enjoyed watching On the Town. I knew references from that that I didn't know I knew. And of course, all the dancing in it. And it was just a really fun film. I just really enjoyed it. It made me happy. It was definitely a feel-good Friday.
It's funny because Brandon didn't know the Simpsons episode. And literally, I know On the Town from that Simpsons episode, because when I moved to Springfield, literally on the car ride down from the Quad Cities when I was coming to UIS, I played the song Springfield, Springfield, it's a hell of a town. Yeah, it's just so great. You know, so that was really cool to see that. And I liked the premise of that movie. I really enjoyed quite a bit. And then Bandwagon as well was a film that, you know, you hear an awful lot about, but it was fun to actually finally get to a chance to see it and to understand why it kind of maintains a spot in those classic film musicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It kind of gets overshadowed by Singing in the Rain. And I think just because it's a little bit more of a cynical movie than Singing in the Rain is, but I love it just as equally. So yeah, it was fun to get to watch those and hear your guys' responses to those. So as we're getting close to the end here, just the last sort of groupings of movies, The Philadelphia Story, Good Will Hunting, Rogue One, and The Producers. Any of those four?
I made her watch Star Wars. It was great. I think Anna was on her phone quite a bit during that. But still, I really enjoyed going back and revisiting Rogue One. I guess that technically belongs on our Disney Plus
list. It did. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so we had four on four. Disney Plus. But yeah, Anna, you had any in that group?
Yeah, I would say, well, to be fair, I have seen Star Wars. I am familiar. I just, you know, it was one of those that I can get into. It just depends on the day. So I enjoyed watching those films. But yeah, no, I think all of those in that grouping, it was just a really fun group to watch.
Good Will Hunting is really funny because it's become, you know, my favorite. I would say for a long time, my favorite movie is Dead Poets Society, and Good Will Hunting is kind of the unofficial sequel to Dead Poets Society. Not the same character, but certainly Robin Williams still playing that mentor role and almost like a grown-up adult mentor. And it's funny because as an academic advisor, it's kind of joked around the profession that Good Will Hunting is like our movie. right? So right. That's who you aspire to be, is to be Robin Williams' character. So I really did enjoy going back and revisiting that again.
Yeah, Good Will Hunting is definitely one of my favorites. It's one that I found just a couple of years ago, maybe 7 years ago or so. But it's one that I definitely, I love now, and I'm really glad I watched then. And I think it speaks to a lot of things that I think are something, you can always get something new out of it when you watch it. And that's why I like it.
Now, Brandon, you're missing, so I don't want to cut you off from your comments on this, but you're missing something we did along the way.
Something we did along the way.
Yeah. Now, do you have comments on those other films that you wanted to bring up first before I completely derail you?
No, Good Will Hunting, I was just going to point out, I probably hadn't watched it in like over a decade. So it was, when we were watching it, I thought, I was worried it might be stuck in the late 90s and like might feel dated, but it really didn't. And I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, aside from Matt and Ben looking so young, it didn't feel, so much late 90s. So that was fun to watch. But yeah, that's my only comment.
Well, okay, so what you missed was that there was a time where Anna had us watch a TV show.
Oh! And
the reason why I bring this up is because if we do our math correctly and we release this correctly, this will release on March 26th, which will be my next pick for Friday Night Flicks. And we are going to watch a TV show together because the TV show that has completely taken over my life this last year is Ted Lasso. And that is going to be my pick this upcoming time. So I'm revealing it to you two now.
Nice.
But and hopefully, I think Apple TV has a 7-day free trial, so you should be able to get it for free. And I have watched the series like 4 times already that it's been out. So it'll be. I'm hoping that you all go lightly on me if you don't end up enjoying Ted Lasso. But no, Anna did. I Love Lucy.
We watched. Yeah.
It was one of those Fridays when I didn't really know what to pick, but I knew I wanted something lighthearted and feel good and funny. And Lucy is one of those that I just love. And so I realized that Craig hasn't seen a lot of the Lucy episodes, especially. And so I picked, like, I went and found the top maybe 5, I think we did, the 5 most famous episodes. And we just watched those back to back together. Mm-hmm. And it was just fun to have a lot of laughs and to see them again.
Yeah, this summer was a really rough summer emotionally, just from a lot of different aspects. So I noticed like toward the middle of the year, it's a lot of lighthearted stuff. And as we get toward the end of the year, it gets a little more serious. But it's just funny looking back how that worked out. But yeah, it was fun to watch Lucy because I think I had just interviewed Kate Luckinbill Connor just a little bit before when we did that. So Lucy was very much on my mind at the time. So that was a lot of fun. And looking here, we just have, I'll just mention what we had here on our last stretch here for 2021. So 42, Hidden Figures, Catch Me If You Can, Superman, and then Mank, like I mentioned. So anything out of that list that stands out to you?
Figures was one of my picks. And that one just sticks out to me because I had seen it one time before and it had been a while. And I'm really thankful that I picked that one again to watch because I enjoyed that revisit much. Of course, as I mentioned with Apollo 13, I've always been into space and the exploration has just always been something that fascinated me. But Hidden Figures is one of those. I think it's just a really well done movie and I think it's really important to watch.
Much like a lot of people, I was introduced to Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa. And so getting to watch him in 42, it's very clear you can see why Kevin Feige and Marvel decided that he needed to be a superhero on the screen because his portrayal of Jackie Robinson is just so great. And it's so... it was like emotional watching it because that film came out in 2013 or 2012. And to think that was really his first major motion picture that got him all that notice. And then for him to be gone 8 years later, it's just incredibly emotional and sad. I cannot tell people enough to go out and watch Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. His performance in that film, he's winning every award posthumously, and he would have won those awards had he still been alive with us today, because his role is just incredible. And so it's hard you know, I wanted to pick a Chadwick Boseman movie, and certainly I would love for, and I know you've seen Black Panther, Brandon, but Anna has not seen Black Panther, and I would love for her to watch that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I felt like 42 was a film that I hadn't seen yet, and I really wanted to go back and mm-hmm. visit that. Catch Me If You Can, one of my mm-hmm. favorites. It actually probably is one of my like top five favorite Tom Hanks films. And I know that he's not necessarily the lead in that, he's the support, but he's so good in that film. And then Superman. I actually recently we've had the opportunity to speak to Philip Kennedy Johnson, who is taking over writing Superman for DC Comics. And he kept talking about the virtue of Superman, the moral core of Superman, and how Christopher Reeve was the perfect embodiment of Superman. And so that week after that interview, I was like, I have to watch Superman again. Like, I have to watch this. And it truly is revolutionary to think about that film coming out in 78 and what that did for all these crazy superhero movies we have today. It can draw a line right back to Superman in 78. So really enjoy that film and glad that I was able to revisit it. And glad that we have a Superman writer out there in DC that loves Christopher Reeve as much as I do, because truly Superman to me is he's super. That's what he is, you know, and he's something that everyone should aspire to. And I feel like that portrayal by Reeve was just so perfect.
Yeah, it was fun going back and watching a couple of these. Like you, I hadn't seen 42 yet, and just so to see Chadwick Boseman earlier in his career, you know, was as you said, was emotional, and just, you know, just a great movie to watch. I didn't mention the one movie I didn't mention. I introduced you guys to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You hadn't seen a movie with Sidney Poitier yet, and mm-hmm. so that was great. That was kind of our you know, Black History Month. Then we discussed, you know, we watched that in 42 back to back. So that was awesome to get to do that, to sort of watch Sidney, who, you know, made his mark in the 60s, and Chadwick, who's very much a descendant of what Sidney Poitier did in the 60s. So that was a lot of fun to watch those two guys back to back. And then
talk about emotional. Yeah. I don't know if you did you go back after his death. The clip was going around quite a bit of him giving an award to Denzel Washington, uh-huh. because Denzel had essentially given these scholarships to these young Black actors to be able to pursue their craft. And Chadwick was talking about how he was so humble in not wanting them to know that it was Denzel Washington that was putting this money forward. And so it's incredibly emotional clip. But yeah, just it's really it was really great to go back and watch some of those and particularly throughout that month and be able to like kind of just understand the immense importance that these men and women brought to film and continue to. It was just really great.
Yeah, and then just going back, just this last week we watched Chicago, and I really suggest that people, that movie sometimes very unfairly ends up on lists of like the worst Best Picture winners, and I tell you, it is still a solid movie 19 years later. And like I said, Chicago, I, you know, in my interview with Michael Riedel of the New York Post that I did just a couple months ago, we mentioned that Chicago, the musical itself, just gets more and more relevant every year because celebrity culture has just gone crazy even more since that musical was written in 1975. And so to watch that movie, it's even more relevant now, and the performances still hold up and everything about it. It's a fresh movie. It's the best thing Rob Marshall's ever done.
Yeah. I had forgotten how well pieced together that film was and how beautiful it was. Mm-hmm. I had just forgotten. So it was wonderful to see it again.
Sir Rob Marshall directed Mary Poppins Returns. So
yeah,
let's.
I love Mary Poppins Returns.
Maybe let's just dial it back just a little bit, because you know my love for that film and you know my love for Emily Blunt. So I'm just letting you know that
I love that film too. You and I differ on Emily versus Julie, and we won't go into that. But
when you just throw it out there that it's his best film, just know that, you know, there might be some contention there. Is all
yeah,
that I'm saying.
I understand. Yeah.
No, but it's great. So I guess, you know, I revealed what I'm watching next, but Brandon, you're on the hot seat. What are we watching? Now, this is, we're recording this like about a week or so in advance. So you are up next, and then it's me.
You know,
know you're watching Jason Sudeikis with me. So what are we watching?
It might be time to watch some Hitchcock again. You guys haven't seen Strangers on a Train or Notorious yet. I'm going back and forth between one of those two.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So now we have our whole, now Anna's like the next one that we will have some suspense for when we're looking at it. Although you have an option for us, so that's good.
Well, and I found now that I will make a list of movies as I think of them throughout the week, because it's just easier for me to recall than on Friday and remember all the great films that I want to see. So that's been fun too, to just keep like a list and know what I want to watch. And unlike other times, I'm able to watch them, so it's been a nice way to do that as well.
Do the two of you have a movie that you've thought about having us watch a couple of times but it's fallen off?
Yes.
I have two of them. So I mentioned one of them was Black Panther, because when Chadwick died, I for sure wanted to watch that movie again. But then the other one, for whatever reason, and I think it's just because I haven't revisited it like since I was a child, basically, and probably was too young to be watching the film and actually get it. But I really want to watch The Truman Show, and I just haven't gotten around to like having us watch it. And it's been on my list. It was one of those that was on my list during the holidays. And I was like, well, I can't watch Truman Show now. We've got to watch White Christmas, you know, or whatever. But yeah, do any of you have movies that have kind of been like on the list, but we haven't quite gotten there yet?
Oh yeah, that's how I started my list that I keep, is because I keep having those films that I want to try to remember that keep falling off. Hook is one of them. I love Hook. I want to see that. And I think I have like Mrs. Doubtfire on there and Saving Mr. Banks. Just all those films that I haven't seen in a really long time, I think, is what I'm finding to be on my list.
There's a couple of movies I'd love to show you guys, but they're long. And full disclosure to our audience, we have to wait until their son Liam goes to bed at 9:15 usually to watch these. So there are some great, like the Judy Garland version of A Star Is Born or The Bridge on the River Kwai, but these movies are like 3 hours long. So I don't know that we would get to the, but, or maybe we could have me do two Fridays in a row, and we could do it in like two parts or something like that.
Right. All we need to do is we just need to come up with a weekend where we can do a Friday and a Saturday, and then just kind of do like an intermission, I think is a good idea, because there were a couple of them, you know, Shawshank Redemption, when we did that, I think that was like a 12:15 night or something like that by the time that movie was over and we were heading to bed. So.
Yeah. So I guess as we kind of close this, you know, we're into 2021 now, and, you know, vaccines are getting into arms, and, you know, our lives are going to start becoming busier this might not be something that we continue. Yeah, we'll, in the near future we will, but, you know, as we close toward the end of the year, but I definitely see it as something that we can continue, like when we all have free weekends or something like that. And of course, we've talked about, you know, the first Friday night we all have our vaccines, we can actually do one in person.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. But also, I think that it's something where I hope that we keep this up at least once a month, you know, like we're always, even with theater and stuff like that, traditionally, for the most part, we're always home on Sunday nights or something like that. So maybe it'll become a Sunday night flick or whatever. But I really would suggest that people do this. I know that we probably should have told you this suggestion at the beginning of the pandemic, and maybe not more so at the end of the pandemic. But it has been really a great bonding experience, and just being able to see all these films that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to go back and either revisit or see for the first time. So it's been very cool.
Yeah, going off of that, I would highly encourage you to do that with a group of friends. Maybe it's a group of friends you haven't talked to in a long time, or a group of friends that you want to stay in touch with, or a family member. It's a great way to keep in touch once a week or once a month. You have that established time frame that we're messaging each other, and it's a good way to keep in touch with folks as well, and to keep communication lines open and just talking, and just something fun to do. So I definitely want to do it, and I would want to see it continue. I would suggest everybody does if they can.
And, you know, you mentioned this at the very beginning, Brandon, but like group watches, I tried to do that one time on Disney Plus, and I am a shill for, I am sitting here in a Walt Disney World hoodie. but I will tell you that group watch is not great. So I just throw a message thread together, a text message or Beyond Messenger, and watch these films together. And it's great.
And how we do it is we just say, okay, starting at 9:15. Yep. Starting at 9:15. And then we just hit go on the movie at the same time. And it usually works itself out just fine.
Mm-hmm. I think what I'm going to do is I will, when this episode posts, I'll post the list of the movies that we watch to our Facebook page. And that way people can, you know, get recommendations. I was going through the list and I mentioned it, and I didn't really ask this, but there's only one movie that we watched that I can say like really disappointed me, that I walked away with kind of and that's Yesterday. I was looking forward to that movie so much, and it has so much going for it, but I'm like, it just does not come together. It's such a unique premise, but I feel like they just kind of dropped the ball with it.
I see what you did there with the come together. That was a good one.
I don't know if you felt that way, but that's the one movie that I was like, this could have been so good, and I just don't think they quite hit the bullseye.
Oh, I completely agree. It had such a great lead up to it, and I thought it had a great idea for a film, and I just wasn't impressed. I can at least remember parts of it, but it just was one of those that I could do without, honestly.
It was one that I probably won't ever revisit again, much in the same way, honestly. I know that there's a following for Across the Universe, but I because the music was both the Beatles, I kind of thought of them as similar films. But yeah, I agree with you. It was kind of a letdown, because that was one that when they announced it and when it was coming out, I was very excited for it. And then I assumed it would get some kind of Oscar buzz and whatnot. And it definitely did not. And I understand why, because like you said, they didn't quite wrap the story the way that maybe we would have hoped that they would have.
One out of, you know, 52 is pretty good. I guess just as we sort of close up here, any final thoughts from either one of you?
Well, I think I'm really looking forward to more movies to come. It's been fun to have movies that other people have suggested that I watch. I don't have to think about what I'm watching. It's a surprise that I have a new movie to watch that night, and I don't have to pick it myself. But it's also been really fun on the other side of picking a film that I want to watch that night and share. And it's just a really good mix, and something that is a little bit different but exciting to do. And I just, my takeaway is I want to do that forever. I just think it's fun.
We carry these movies with us as part of something that helps us develop like kind of who we are. And like, you know, we talk about, you know, when you're asking small talk, you know, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite color? You know, whatever. It's something that I think is really fun to be able to share with friends, and to be able to have that bonding experience of like your 21st century version of going to the movies and watching it with your friends, and then being able to chat about it afterwards. We're able to kind of talk about it throughout, and it's just been a really great way to keep in touch as well. You know, Brandon, we met you through this podcast and through Jeremy, and you're such a close friend now, and it was great to be able to stay in touch with you throughout this entire thing, because you, sir, are a very calming presence, and it's nice to have that in your life. You're a great friend, and it's just been really fun to be able to spend this time with you.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. And I mentioned before, you know, I've whined about this all the year through the pandemic. I miss going to the movie theater, but I am grateful that I live in an age where so many movies are accessible to us. Eric and I talk about on our show, you know, especially so many of these great classic movies were made for the big screen and for that experience. But how lucky we are to live in an age when, you know, maybe 10 years ago, so many of these movies weren't accessible unless you had, you know, thousands of dollars to spend at a video store. And now you can just, you know, turn on a streaming service and there it is. So, you know, thank goodness that this happened during a time where we had so much accessible to us.
We're heading into Oscar season, and I have seen just about all the Best Picture nominees at this point, and that is never the case for us. So there are some benefits to this, and I know that the movie industry is really grappling with where to go from here. And I think that we are going to see a lot of changes coming out of this, whether that's release windows that, I mean, we're talking about, I can't remember who it was. Was it Warner, or was it So somebody that signed a deal with AMC that they are allowed to do releases 3 weeks after it hits the movie theaters.
Universal.
It was Universal. So that's ongoing. That's not a pandemic thing. So you could have
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. Okay, Jurassic Park.
World,
you have your new Jurassic World movie, and then it can come out to the theaters, and 3 weeks later you can watch it at home. You know, that's that's just going to be the world.
Yeah, so hope, and I'm hoping, and I think they will come up with a strategy that can satisfy both, because I think we can live in a world where both exist. Someone just has to come up with the right, you know, economic way for them both to coexist, and I think that they will. There'll be some growing pains, but I think those of us that love, you know, the theater experience and the people who'd rather stay home, I think we'll have the best of both worlds.
But, you know, I have to tell you, one of the other things I've loved during this last year is listening to you and Eric crush it over there on classics. Although there was one time where you stole my co-host for Beyond the Mouse and didn't have me on. So I completely understand that you're trying to take them away from me. But I didn't appreciate it much, Brandon. But no, truly, the things that you guys are doing over there in classics, just it's wonderful. If you're listening to this on our main feed and you haven't just subscribed to Front Row Classics, I would definitely suggest it, because it's just wonderful content that you guys put out. And Eric is so smart. You are so smart. It's definitely the smartest podcast we do. by far, but it's so accessible as well, because you have real conversations about these films. And so you're not too heady. You're not too out there and too critical of things. It's just a really great conversation to get to listen to.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I've been doing classics for 5 years now. That's crazy. And I think the show didn't really come together until Eric joined. I think I needed that steady co-host to actually have someone to go off of, and we try and add a third person every time so that we have, you know, the different perspectives. And I think the show's only gotten better.
Well, I would say two of the Anna's favorite dudes in the world are Brandon Davis and Eric Flick.
So, exactly right.
So if you ever need a co-host, I think she would be willing to jump on.
But yeah, I'm glad you forgave me for the His Girl Friday episode, and I am going to be on your show soon. So if you need like an intervention or something, I'll be there. So, but yeah, you guys at Beyond the Mouse, it's just been amazing. I mean, I've been able, very fortunate, to do some very good interviews in the last year, but you all, almost on a weekly basis, have been able to talk to just some incredible people. And it's really, I mean, it's sort of challenged all of us on the other shows to kind of up our games, I feel like. And you all have really, I'm amazed by the community you've created, and just the people that you've been able to talk to. It's amazing, you know, we started this thing 5 years ago, and the fact that you've gotten to speak to people who actually worked with Walt Disney.
Yeah, it's been surreal. It's been a surreal last year. And thanks in part to that very first interview we did back in May of 2020 with Kevin Lima. You know, Kevin is someone that you and I got to speak to at the Lincoln Film Festival, Brandon. Uh-huh. And we went back to him, and he told us to just ask for it, to go out there and just ask for it. And that's kind of what we've been doing over the last year. And it kind of culminates in this last couple of weeks on our feed. This past week on March 19th, we dropped a conversation with Billy Campbell, who played the Rocketeer, which, you know, you two knew this going into our friendship, that the Rocketeer has a very special place in our heart, or my heart. Then we also, now I can say it because it's been announced on that podcast, but our 100th episode, it kind of, we're able to circle back around, and Kevin Lima was so gracious and was willing to get together not only himself, but also Bill Farmer, who plays Goofy, and Jason Marsden, who plays Max Goof. So we did a panel discussion on a Goofy movie. And so we've just been so fortunate, and that will drop actually a week from now. It'll drop on April 2nd, so you can check that out. But it's been a crazy year for the podcast, and it's very cool to have all these other shows going on, because I find myself being such a fan of the other shows, even though I know all of you and we yell at each other on a message thread and all of that, it's just fun to have all those different shows and things that I absolutely love, like Larry Smith and Convince Me and Jay and Aaron and Ryan over there in Flashbacks. Just some great stuff. Of course, Lou with Guilty Pleasures. It's crazy where this has all been and where it's all going.
Yeah. Well, you got to do a couple of plugs. So I'll just, anyone who does listen to classics, we've got some exciting stuff coming up. Erin McCabe is coming back, and she and Eric and I are going to be talking about Ben-Hur just in time for Oscar season and just in time for Easter. That's another big 3-hour epic we might have to watch sometime. And then speaking of An American in Paris, Patricia Ward Kelly is joining us once again the first week of April, and we're going to be celebrating with her the 70th anniversary of An American in Paris, and so that's going to be a lot of fun.
You get to talk to Gene Kelly's wife.
I know.
Could you imagine that?
That is insane.
Not only talk to her, but you had such a relationship with her that she was so willing to come back on your show because of the conversation you had. I mean, that sir is incredible.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And we're also going to be, the first week of April, we're also going to be talking to a guy named Jeremy Arnold, who is the author of the TCM Essentials books, which have just come out. And so he's going to be talking all about being a film journalist and being a classic film historian and talking about the movies, why he picked certain movies to be essentials in his books. And so that's a great episode. And then later in April, we're going to do the movie that won our Best Picture poll the week of the Oscars, which was Gigi. So, and Allison Means is going to join us for that one again. So a lot of big stuff. I think April is going to be one of our busiest months coming up.
We never stop working, right?
No. So, but you know what? It's not work if you love it. So, and I love it.
Right.
So we're really rolling now. So we thank you all for hanging in there with us. This has just been a fun, free flowing conversation. But it's been great doing this with you guys for this year, and we'll definitely continue it when we can. And I'm excited too, because it's fun to introduce stuff you love to other people, and to share it. So, like always, this is on our main feed, but if you're interested in Beyond the Mouse or Front Row Classics, we each have our own feed. You can find them on anywhere you listen to your podcast, whether that's Amazon or Apple or Spotify. You can also find us on Instagram. We each have our own Facebook group. So anywhere where you search for our titles, Beyond the Mouse or Front Row Classics. So as we close out this year of the pandemic, hopefully we don't have much more to go, but as always, we can find silver linings wherever we are. And that was the whole point of this. So as we close out this special episode of The Front Row, I am Brandon Davis.
I'm Anna McFarland.
And I'm Craig McFarland.
And we will see you in The Front Row.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/Front Row Network. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter @FrontRowReviews with a Z.